Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, and welcome to Five Smooth Stones Radio with Brother Seth, a place where the Hebrew Israelite can call home and where an awakening is taking place from the four corners of the earth. Five Smooth Stones with Brother Seth have compelling and informative programming during the week, starting with, on Sundays at 11:30 p.m., Proof of Biblical Hebrews 101, Tuesdays at midnight, Racial Matters and Solutions, Thursdays at midnight, New World Watch Society, and around out the week on Saturdays, the International Israelite Forum. Check back with Five Smooth Stones for specific times, and all shows are on Central Standard Time. I'm Brother Bobby, a.k.a. Victim to Victorious, and these shows have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure they'll be a blessing to you. So come check out Brother Seth here at Five Smooth Stones Radio, where your mind will be expanded, your spirit challenged, and the peace of the Most High reigns supreme. Shalom.
And
Okay, we'll let that play in the background. Welcome everyone to another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host, Brother Seth. Again, we'll just let that perform background there. Just wanted to go ahead and get started since we got a lot to talk about in such a short period of time. Just want to thank everybody for stopping by and supporting us here at Five Smooth Stones. We are located at www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. That's 5_smooth_stones, okay? The reason why I give that address, because there's lots of people that don't have the internet that listen to this by phone, and they may want to know where the address is just in case they get to the internet and want to look up some of the different services we offer. Okay, so anyway, this is Brother Seth. And again, you've reached Five Smooth Stones Ministries. We just like to say Five Smooth Stones, to be honest with you. And y'all know what Five Smooth Stones mean, right? Been listening for any period, any length of time, you know that those Five Smooth Stones mean five topics that we talk about. And so tonight, we're going to discuss one of those topics, and one of those topics would be the, as we call this show, the New World Watch Society, New World Order, excuse me, New World Order Watch Society. And what that means is we are a society, a small, small, tiny society of friends that study, that talk about, that enlighten each other on the New World Order, what they're doing, what they're plotting. And we do that because we want to be alert and aware. The scripture has commanded us to do so. It has commanded us to know what's going on, to be aware of the signs and the times. We don't know the day that Messiah is to return, but we do know the season, and we're supposed to be, we're commissioned to be alert, aware of the season. What is going on in our world, we're supposed to know. We're not supposed to turn a deaf ear. We're not supposed to take our head in the sand. We're not supposed to say it's too big, can't do anything about it, it's just too big, can't save the world. Well, while we can't save the world, we can't save our world, the world we live in, the people we touch. And that's all this show is about. Simply equipping each other with the information that each other provides. And we just simply ask that we that you do a good job, those of you that want to share, we just ask that you would just do a good job gathering information. And be prayerful, be alert, and be first and foremost, we strongly recommend that you have a relationship with the Most High, meaning a harmonious relationship with the Most High, meaning that you are in total compliance with His laws and precepts, meaning that your conscience does not condemn you by anything you do, okay? That you're preserving the earth, preserving life, furthering life, promoting life. And this is what we're all about here at Five Smooth Stone, promoting life, defending life, having life more abundantly, as Christ put it. And this can only happen when we fear the Most High, when we fear the Most High, when we fear the Most High, keep His commandments, follow His ways. I'm not a perfect example, but I'm striving. I'm striving, and I hope you are too. And just again want to thank everybody for stopping by to get the wisdom, the knowledge, the information that would help us accomplish these goals. One of the goals we want to accomplish tonight is exposing the New World Order, exposing secret society, exposing the wicked, exposing wicked plots and spiritual high places. We know, as Ephesians 6 says very clear, the book of Ephesians say very clear, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Flesh and blood don't have the capacity within them. They only have six senses, whereas spirits are limitless. We don't have it within our powers to do some of the things we see done on our earth. It has to start in another realm, and it does, in the spiritual realm. And I know a lot of people are not fans of that, but folks, reality will just stick around till we all die. It'll always be. So if we want to be productive, we got to line ourselves up with reality. And that's what we do here at the New World Watch Society. We try to talk about things that's going on in our world. Why are these things going on? How is it going to affect us? How is it going to affect our family? How can we salvage ourselves and our families from the wicked one? And that's what Brother Seth is always trying to do on Thursday nights. While I'm at it, briefly, before I go to the guests that I have on the show, just remember, on Thursday nights is New World Watch Society, where we talk about any and everything going on in our world that affect us, that is seriously affects us. If it don't affect us, we don't need to be talking about it. But things that's going on, like with the New World Order, like I said earlier, secret societies, because these powerful people behind the scene is what run our world. President of the United States, foreign ministers are puppets compared to these people. These people are the movers and shakers, and they only have one enemy, true enemy. There's only one force that can stop them. There's no tanks, no bullets, no bulletproof vests, no nuclear weapons. Nothing can stop these people but the kingdom of the Most High and the Almighty himself. They got it going on just that much. Not to try to give them glory, but honestly, folks, we can't do war with these people. We have got to be a part of a movement, of a kingdom, and that kingdom we call the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Yahweh or the kingdom of Allah or the kingdom of whatever you want to call the Most High. This is who we are talking about tonight. His laws, his precepts, his concepts. We go his route to destroy the wicked one. There is no other salvation. There is no other way to combat and defeat these people. You just spend your life, you know, throwing rocks into a giant ocean. You cannot stop these people unless you link up, connect up with family, the kingdom of the Most High, the oldest family on the earth. That is the true kingdom. And the phony kingdom, this New World Order, is simply trying to mimic, copy off, and dethrone the true kingdom. So this is what we preach. It ain't pie in the sky. It ain't hocus pocus. It ain't super spooky. This is reality all day long, folks. And if you don't know about it, I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you. If you don't know about spiritual wickedness in high places, you're probably already in captivity to the wicked one. It's just that simple. Because it's real. All day long, it's real. Just because you don't know about it don't mean it don't exist. I mean, we don't understand anything about electricity, but we use it every day. So, having said that, let me do one little thing here. I try to do this every single show. We want to start showing love to people that support us. So those of us, those of you that have done a lot, that constantly try to support us, we want to give back to you. And by that, I mean we have a supporter where I want to go ahead and just advertise something she's doing. And then we want to jump right into this head first. And, folks, we have a very exciting show tonight. We have a brother. Y'all heard this brother. Should have heard him on Race Matters on Tuesday. But this was Brother Salahuddin. He's no joke. He's a Muslim. Very intelligent brother. He's going to be on here shortly. And he's going to be talking about the Muslim world and what their teaching in terms of what the Quran says with regards to end time events. And then we'll talk about what the scripture says, what the Bible says, and what the Holy Bible says with regards to end time scriptures, and see if there's common ground. Because if there is common ground, oh my goodness, you get the Muslim world and the believers and the scriptures to see eye to eye on anything, the planet is in trouble. I mean, in terms of if we can see eye to eye on something, it's surely going to happen. So let's go ahead and hear a word from one of our sponsors. We'll jump right into this, okay?
Shalom. My name is Kingdom. I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening to our Smoothstone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practical websolution with no s.com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, are so-called modern-day Negroes, all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here on Blog Talk Radio, as he embarks on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people, and we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in the land. Shalom, shalom.
And that is truth, one of the many truths that we share here. That is one of the stones, one of the stones, one of the five smooth stones, the five smooth messages we share here. We talk about these subjects, and just before I bring the brother on, the five topics we talk about is we take a whole new look at the Bible, a whole new look at who Israel is, and what that means in terms of Bible prophecies, end time event, because if we are right, and I know we're right, but just for your sake, I say if we are right, this changes a whole lot of things where it relates to prophecies and scriptures, and we know for a fact that the true people, the true Israelites, are not in Israel. They are vastly scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, and they are going through some of the most horrific treatment of humans there is. The Most High prophetically said this would happen to Israel if they disobeyed, and so we've been scattered to the four corners. Yes, a few have returned to Israel, but they're going through hell as well. They're not being as free as would think. We are living out these prophecies, all of the prophecies throughout the scriptures, and this is how we know true Israel, whoever live out the prophecies, simple and plain. How simple can you make it? And then another stone or another subject we talk about is the one world government, which we're talking about tonight, though, the new world order. Okay, another stone or topic we talk about is white supremacy. Okay, white supremacy / black inferiority. We talk about that on Tuesday night. Okay, another very, very strong truth we talk about is how we're all related, how we're all one blood, how we're all one flesh. We talk about Bible leprosy, which is nothing more than what we call today vitiligo and what we call today albinism. And this is how we link all people together, because truly, man was made from the dust of the earth. And Scripture says, Most High said, dust thou art, thus shalt thou return. And so we all return to whatever it is we was originally, and we all can see what color people turn when they've been in that ground for 50, 60, 70, 100 years. We all see that they turn the color of dust. Truly, the Most High made us from the brown dust of the earth. From all this come the colors of the world, and these people produce blonde hair, blue eyes, so that make us all one family. We get into that as leprosy. And the last stone, or the last subject of the five smooth stones, is the kingdom of the Most High. What is this all about? The kingdom of the Most High. Even Christ talked about it when he taught his disciples how to pray, when he said, thy kingdom come. It's all about a kingdom coming to rule this earth. Man will either die and be insignificant, or he will be great to the degree he submits himself to the kingdom and follow those principles. It's all about keeping the laws of the Most High. We were made to keep the laws. When we don't keep those laws, we don't stay around the planet long. The planet even becomes our enemy. Doctors have proven that even the environment can cause a lot of cancer and a lot of the things we do because of the behaviors and the lifestyles we live on the planet. So having said that, those are the five smooth stones. Folks, go to the front page. Go to my front page, blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. That's the number 5 smooth stones with the underscore. And click on the website. Many of y'all have said over and over and over how you like the site, how you like what we're saying. You love the five smooth stones. Go to the site, register. We only ask you a few questions and become a part of the movement. Contribute. Send us videos, audios. Debate us. Tell us what you disagree with, okay? And just share with us, okay? Let's do this. But you got to go to the site. It's www.fivesmoothstones.webs.com. This is on the front page at on Blog Talk Radio. With five smooth stones. Anyway, and then on Facebook, if you look at the show's description, you'll see the Facebook, if you look at the profile description, rather, you'll see a link to Facebook. I mean, excuse me, not Facebook, Google. We have a Google library online, and you'll see all of the wonderful books that have where we get most of our information from. Not all of it, but most of our information come from that serious library with many, many books in it. Okay, to validate what we talk about. Folks, without holding any further ado, I want to go ahead and bring on our guest. This is our one and only brother. This is Brother Salahuddin. Let me go ahead and open the phone lines. I think we have him on hold here. Brother Salahuddin, are you there?
Yes, brother. God bless you, my good brother Seth. Yes, brother.
Yeah, I just want to thank you again for just kind of stopping by. And just joining the conversation, you know, and contributing. We really, really appreciate that. The Muslim world is a very important world to me. I know a lot of people are hating on Muslims, but like I told you in a previous conversation earlier, my friend, if it had not been for the Muslims' account of history, a lot of the things that black people have learned recently that we've done and been influential in doing, had it not been for the Muslims' account and them keeping history, these white people that have just went throughout the whole world burning up statues and knocking off noses of statues and burning up libraries, I meant to say, not burning up statues, but burning up libraries of information and just rewriting history, redefining everything. Had it not been for the Muslims that stood up to them, like the one and only Saladin, where you get your name from, the brother that went and defeated the Crusaders in the Holy Land, defeated them, broke their back, sent them back to Europe, defeated, had it not been for that Muslim leader, I mean, we'd still be, it'll still be occupied heavily by Europeans. I mean, they, even though they do have sieged Israel anyway, even though they are there, they still have an Arab presence there as well to keep the balance. And I'm not Arab as far as, you know, traditional Arab, traditional way we look at Arab. Of course, I'm an so-called African-American. Israelite, to be more specific. But anyway, my brother, I can go on and on and on and on about history with that, but that's where this brother get his name. I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody. Tell us a little bit about you, how to get a hold of you, if people want to contact you, because we may get to talking and you may not get a chance to do it a little later on. So a little bit about yourself. I know you said you're a teacher, and just share with everybody a little bit before we get into this conversation about end time events and the Quran.
I want to clarify before I do that again. I just want to, you know, publicly state that, you know, this brother Seth is a very, very special brother. Not only for your intelligence, brother, but your character and your spirit, and you know, it's very impressive. And we're really all blessed, myself included, you know, to be able to listen to your show. And I'm doubly blessed just to be able to partake. You know, and it's an incredible honor to be on your show as a guest. But and I mean that from my heart. You're a special brother. Yes, a bit about myself. I'm going to just clarify, brother. You know, I have taught at social policy education as a I am not currently teaching. I am currently, because of the economy, I am currently a taxi driver, yellow taxi driver in New York City. I want to clarify that. You know, but I have, you know, my profession, I have advanced degrees in social policy education. I also have an advanced degree in social work. You know, I'm a licensed social worker. So, you know, I'm just, most of my life has been going to school and in efforts to compensate for racism, white supremacy. I grew up in a period in this society. Brother Seth, I'm sure, you know, the same, that we grew up as black people in this country. We were taught in order for us to be equal, we had to be better, twice as good. So, you know, that's basically how I was raised. And put a great deal of pressure on me. But in any case, I was brought up reading a great deal. And I became a Muslim. I was had become Christian. I grew up believing I was Christian, but I really was not, because we really didn't read the Bible. We just, you know, celebrated Christmas and Easter. I grew up in Brooklyn and Bedford-Stuyvesant. I went through my first wife, I went through a bad, painful separation in the late 80s, early 90s, and turned to Christianity, which was truly an inspiring experience. I mean, through that, I read the Bible, and just was really, the wisdom and the spirit of Christianity is just really incredible. And I healed a great deal through reading the scriptures and interacting with some people in the church. But I sensed, again, comparing what the people were doing as to the scriptures and the commentary and so forth, and reading a bit of history, I became somewhat disillusioned with the community, not the Bible itself, not Christianity itself, but the community, and the fellowship of Christians, which the church means in Greek, it means really family or something to that effect. Then I wound up in early 90s, I became a Muslim, went to the military, and I've been a Muslim for about 19 years now, going 20 years, and I am not what you would consider to be an Islamic scholar, but I have, again, through over the years, have read and studied somewhat, and maybe done some comparative study about religion. And if I'm going to be clear too, again, I've just found pretty much the same discrepancy in terms of what the scriptures say in Islam, the Quran, and what the people are actually doing. But for me, I found it to be somewhat less. I found, you know, that when I became a Muslim, that the people were adhering to the original scriptures of the Quran somewhat more. It was easy to find people that were adhering more to the it was a community of Muslims, where I found it difficult, somewhat elusive, to find a strong community of Christians. So again, I was attracted when I converted to Islam. I was attracted to that strong community, strong family values, and this is in no way disparaging Christianity. Again, I was looking for a community, and I found that amongst the Muslims.
Okay.
So that's about it for me.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Everybody know a little bit more about you now, and I just again want to thank you, my brother, for just taking on the call and taking, just accepting the opportunity to be on the show. Let me just do this. Like, I always try to read the show's description, because we always got people that stumble up in, you know, the show and not know what exactly we're talking about. So for those of y'all that popped up on the phone lines or in the chat room and you don't know exactly where we're at, I'm just going to briefly read the show's description. I typed earlier, tonight, Brother Seth welcomed Muslim friend Salahuddin, who joined Brother Seth, as they see common ground with both the Bible and the Quran with regards to end-time prophecies for the USA and the world. This will be a open forum. This is a blog where we come together to discuss current, future, and past events to shed light on Bible prophecies. From a Hebraic standpoint, okay, I will bring on guests lots of times like today. This show is so important in that we need to know how to look at things. We belong to an entirely different kingdom. That kingdom isn't coming, but it's here. We need to know how to play our part in the complete restoration of our planet, we will deal with subjects that may be hard to believe for some. World events, okay, subjects like the Tuskegee experiment, AIDS as biological warfare, HARP, U.S. imperialism, CIA, the Federal Reserve, Iraq, rap culture, Iran, African issues, IMF, World Health Organization, World Bank, structure adjustment programs, or SAPs, what we call SAP, weather warfare. I mean, y'all don't believe that people can actually control the weather to, for warfare's sake, but it's old as is, I don't know what. They've been doing it for a while. Planned Parenthood, a false church. How about that? False church, not the real one, the false one. A fake prosperity in the church today. Babylon, Armageddon, et cetera, et cetera. Our shows are 100% for the restoration of this planet by the kingdom of Yahweh's principles. Awake, Zion. Awake, Zion, put on thy strength. Okay? We say Zion, we're talking about those that are true to the Most High's laws. Anyway, everybody, that gives you an idea of what we're going to be talking about today. Again, it's open forum. If y'all have questions in the chat room, please, please, if you have questions, simply pick up your phone and call. And you know the number. Call it and press 1 on your phone, and that means I have a question. We'll get to that question if you just be patient. And if you have a question in the chat room for Brother Salahuddin or myself, simply type it. He's monitoring the chat room, so am I, and we'll go ahead and try to get your question as soon as possible. So let's just start off, brother, by simply answering a simple question. What, from an Islamic standpoint, again, I represent, I hate the word Christian because it's not the true definition of what we are. We believe in Christ. Of course I believe in Christ absolutely all day long, but we're not. The enemies of Christian, the enemies of the followers of Christ call them Christians. That was their enemies that gave them that name. But until then, they call each other saints. They call each other saints. They call each other believers. Okay, so when you say Christian, you cut out the Father. You only make it like we're of Christ. And we are following Yahweh or Yah or Jehovah or Jehovah. The proper name, and I know in Islam and they say Allah, but I'm saying we are following the Most High, the God of the Bible, the Elohim of the Bible. So we don't like the name Christianity. So we say saints or believers, okay? So everybody know that on Thursday night, I shouldn't say everybody know, but those that visit this Five Smooth Stones know that how I feel about America. I believe it's the Revelation 17 of the Bible whore, the whore of Revelation 17. We believe that. We don't believe that America is a blessed nation per se. It's blessed in some ways. But for the most part, America has a part to play just like a person, just like someone in a play. It starts out being a good guy in the end. It finds out it's the culprit. It's just a part that America has to play. She must be, certain things must happen to America. And I'm not encouraging anybody to do anything stupid. We ain't on that tip, for real. I'm just saying prophetically, according to the Bible, America's got to fulfill prophecy, and the prophecy that she is going to fulfill does not look good. I do believe the economy is going to fall. I do believe the dollar is going to fall. I do believe that America is going to become very close to, if not a so-called third world country herself. Her own merchants inside of her own companies are turning their back on the American people, going outside our waters for work, causing much poverty, changing the whole landscape with regards to the structured family, the economics where the family is concerned. And it just goes on and on and on with weather. You see the weather going on. I don't believe in no terrorists. I think we are the terrorists. I think anything happens to America, it is not from the outside. It is from the inside out. I do not believe 9-1-1 was no Muslims. I believe 9-1-1 was our very government, and they did it upon their own selves. So y'all heard me talk about this whore this whore that is going to wind up like all other whores on her back. Do I want it to happen? No. Do I want it to happen? No. I have people. I'm from this company, a country. I was born in this country. I have relatives in this country. Last thing I want is something to happen because it's going to affect us. But I'm no fool. When I look at the scriptures, it's very clear, very clear, very clear who it's talking about in Revelation 17. So having said all of that, I want this brother to share from a Muslim perspective what the Quran has said, if anything, with regards to the future of this so-called country we call America. I don't mean to say so-called, but what is this country, America? Go right ahead, or United States.
Brother Seth, I just want to say I was very much enjoying and really becoming inspired by what you were just sharing. And I was saying, I hope this brother continues, but I guess it's you turned over the mantle to me. So, yes, thank you for sharing that, brother. So much wisdom. But, first I just want to clarify in terms of Islam. Muslims, our religion is not antagonistic to Christianity, despite what the propaganda says, despite what those who the sensationalists say and want to create enmity between the believers. And that's what that is, to create, Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand, and that's also for people who, as the brother said, and I thank you for that clarification, saints. That the saints of God who followed Jesus stated that the house divided against itself cannot stand, and that's just for all believers, whether you follow Jesus or Muhammad or Abraham or Buddha or Lao Tzu or in China, wherever that may be, or the Yorubans or whichever, those who are believers in the one God, particularly those who our saints who followed Jesus and what we in Arabic call the Yahud, in Arabic, those who for the saints of Jesus are called Nasara, and the Yahud or the Jews, we call them, consider them to be Kitabi, or in Arabic, people of the book. And Allah Ta'ala, God, the Most High, has charged us with treating them with respect and with love. And we have been. Understand that we've
had. Say that again. I don't mean to cut you off, but say that again about the chart. Who's charged?
Well, this is very basic. That we as Muslims have been charged by God to have a particular love and respect for Jews and for those who are the followers of Christ. That's a part of our religion, to have a particular respect for Jews and the followers of Christ. And as you said, that's a major issue. And as you talked about before in your shows about the stupidity and the dumbing down of the people, how misguided the people are in this country. How could that, despite all the anti-Islamic propaganda from the so-called Christian right in this country, how could they overlook that very basic tenet? Well, they did it intentionally because they want to create enmity and have excuses to invade other countries and to, you talk about this New World Order. Some people call it the Illuminati, who are in charge of it, but who want to have excuses for neo-imperialism and this global empire, which may shift from, as you said, may shift from the United States, and many theorists, economic theorists, believe that the United States is an imminent danger, not just danger, that it soon will collapse economically. But, so that's basically the tenets of Islam. We have five pillars of Islam, one of which is five daily prayers, going on a pilgrimage. We have a certain structure in terms of how we clean our bodies, which is called in Arabic, istinja. We believe in the one God, Allah. We believe that Muhammad was peace and blessings be upon him, was the final prophet of Allah and the seal of the prophets. We as Muslims believe that Jesus is definitely was a messenger of Allah, of God. Let me
ask you a question, because
yes.
Anybody living in America that don't know the basics of Islam belief, I don't know what to say about them. let's take it a step further. What does the Quran, you feel, have to say with regards to end time events, with regards to that's about to come up on this country? Because I know that there's a lot of, I mean, I know, you know, you don't follow Farrakhan, and I think you don't follow Farrakhan, or Waris bin Muhammad, or, but I just want to know, in the Islamic world, what do they think? Because I know that this is a very old religion, and I know there's a lot in that Quran about America. What can we expect? That, what are the prophets of Islam saying about the status and what's going to happen upon in this country?
Yes, what we believe, as you said, that the we call the Antichrist the Dajjal. He's called the Dajjal in Arabic. We believe that Jesus is going to come back, and that he's going to establish an order, but he's also going to tell that he is not God and that he is just a human being. So we believe as Muslims that Jesus is going to come back. We believe that there is an Antichrist, I guess you would say. We don't call him Antichrist, we call him the Dajjal, but that's, I guess, would be the closest approximation to calling an Antichrist in English. So, and there will be a one world order, and he will, the Dajjal will be a deceiver, and that in the end times, the Muslims believe that the Africans, again, this is very clear, and this is not black nationalism, this is what the Quran says. This is the original Quran, states that the Africans, the unbelieving Africans, will rule the world. So non-Muslim Africans will rule the world. And I don't know if we can consider Barack Obama to be that, as being the head of the only superpower on earth, but some people consider that perhaps Barack Obama is maybe an approximation to the Dajjal, I don't know. But that's what we believe as Muslims, in a nutshell, regarding the end times.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Let me ask you this. So the Muslim world do believe that the Messiah is coming and that there will be a millennial reign. Now, let's, like one pastor used to tell me all the time, make this, bring this down to earth. Make it plain. She should say say to me, how does that look, Seth? When I would try to share with her about prophetic things, and she would say, how does that look? So I'm going to ask you the same way she put it to me. How does that look? When I say, how does that look, I mean in a very clear way that we can all see, taste, touch, and smell. Like I said earlier, the dollar was going to fall. That's pretty clear. The dollar is going to fall. That's pretty clear.
Yes.
That means that the dollar we know will not have the same value very shortly in the future. I don't mean it's going to go down just a little bit, because in the course it goes up and down. I'm talking about a drop, and I'm saying it, I've been saying it, it's going to happen. So it don't matter if you have $1 million. If it drops in value enough, that million could turn to 100,000. Or if it turned to only 200,000, 300,000, or half a million, you know, that's a pretty big drop. So I'm not saying how much, but it has to fall. It can't. This is a scary time, Saladin, in our life, when the prophets agree with the economists and the prophets agree with the scientists. All three of them are saying the same thing. They see problems on the horizon. This is not a blog where we're sitting around and just want to talk about everything bad with America. Folks, please give me a break. This is so much more deeper than that. This is so much more deeper than that. I want to be optimistic. I want to. We have families. We have children. And we don't want to just be doom and gloom all the time. That's not profitable at all. People don't want to hear it, even if it is true. So I try to mix it up with hope. But it's just some things, if you don't plan for it, you'll be like the people in New Orleans. If you don't move out, get up on dry ground, you're going to find yourself floating in the water. Some of your people are going to die if y'all don't get up out, because Katrina is coming. I feel like that. I feel like something is coming. We keep warning, and the Bible says warning comes before destruction. The Most High loves us, and he is going to send his prophet. The Bible says the Most High will not do nothing until he first reveals it to his prophet. Well, the prophets are all saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing as the economists, saying the same thing as the scientists. when do we heed to it? So my question to you, Brother Salah Houdin, if don't mind, if I'm going to put you on the spot, what do you hear from the Islamic circles that line up with some of the things I was saying earlier? Like I say, again, making it very, very clear to our listeners that's listening tonight, I do believe with all my heart that the United States, this country we call the United States, is going to fall in many ways, not just one way. And I do believe that it's prophetic that she have to fall. I don't want it. I'm not going to push it. I ain't going to rally together. That's not what the website is about. We ain't trying to rally people together to do anything stupid. It's enough stupid people. I shouldn't say stupid people, but there's enough people that want to do stuff to the United States without us. So we're not going to shed a blood.
No.
We ain't trying to purchase no weapons. I'm not even trying to do like Farrakhan states, let us have our own land. I'm not even crying for that. I'm not even declaring that. I just believe that what is going to happen, nobody can stop it. It's going to be the Most High judging America and anybody else that's in the bed with America, as the revelations point out, those that was made wealthy by her, you know, her lifestyle. The Bible talks about a place where, I'm talking about America, Revelation 17, and maybe we should just read Revelation 17, but it talks about a nation that nobody else could be this nation but America, that have made the world, the nations of the world have waxed rich with her. She is there in the bed with her. You know what? I'm almost tempted to read that. Did you want to comment before? You might have been saying something. Just jump in, my brother, because I'll get to talking and it's not enough.
No, again, it's just what you're saying is so consistent. You know, again, with the scriptures of in terms of Islam, that there will be certain signs of the end times, that there will be a certain chaos in society, that moral values will recede and degenerate. There will be an ascendancy of females.
I don't mean to cut you off, but area code 708903, hold on a second. We got to let this brother finish, then I'll listen to your question or comment. Go right ahead.
Yes, but the role of women and men will be reversed. Of course, God has family structure will deteriorate. It's very similar to what, as you said, in the New Testament, which we as Muslims call the Injil, that there will be wars, rumors of wars. It will be brother against brother, father against son. And we see that now. We have a gender war going on. We have juvenile delinquency, children disrespecting their parents. The society has become more materialistic. Families and across the world are being destroyed, and there will be one. And Islam says that, and Christianity says that there will be one world government, and that's what we're coming close to. All the signs are there for the coming of Jesus Christ, even as Muslims say, as we believe that he will be coming back.
I did not know that the Muslims actually expected the return of Jesus Christ. And
yes, we
go
do.
By. Well, let me just quickly, I think someone may have a question for you or myself. Eric code 708903. Let's go to them and see what they have got to ask or comment on. Eric code 708903, go ahead with your question or comment.
Shalom, Brother Steph, and I can't even pronounce your name. But,
that's okay, brother.
Mhm. But yeah, the information y'all was giving it, that was a lot. That was like eye opening on some of it. But a couple comments. One, Brother Self, I don't know if you did any research, but when Yahweh is actually a pagan name, and it comes from the fallen angel Metatron, Yahweh and Jehovah, so they're both orientated. So that's. I don't know if you did any sir, but look up Metatron and you'll find Yahweh and Jehovah come from that. And I had a couple other things I wanted to say. I can't even remember now. But that was one of the main points I had to say.
Let me comment on that before you move on, okay? Because I don't want to really don't want to do the show on just names of God, because that's not what we're talking about. But let me briefly say this. So when the translators in the scriptures came upon the word today, wherever the word Lord is or God, they saw some letters. Are you familiar with those letters?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the tetragrammatization of the name, where it came up with four Hebrew letters.
Right. So my question is, see, we got a question in the chat room talking about who is supposed to get us out of this hole. We just want to stay on the topic at hand, because people really want to know what's going on with America. But I do want to address, because you cared enough to address it with me, but briefly, the tetragrammaton, you familiar with it, you just quoted it. Is that true or false?
Well, from my understanding, hey, I've been doing a lot of study and detecting a lot of views for different names, but from my truest understanding, Metatron, which is another name for the devil, one of his many nicknames of Metatron is Yahweh, and then you take it to English, it'd be Yehovah or the Mason God, Yahweh.
You got a little extra stuff going on there. We're not on this topic, okay? Now, what I'm asking you specifically is the tetragrammaton, different ways to pronounce that. The Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Was it in the Bible or not?
From my understanding, yes, but I'm learning. I'm trying to learn Hebrew, so I only know like maybe about 50 words right now. So I'm not even going to stun and say I know how to translate it and all that.
If you're learning Hebrew, I don't mean to dominate, but if you're learning Hebrew and you only know 50 words, I would just wait. I mean, before you make that comment, because I'm telling you, my friend, there are millions of documents supporting what I'm saying, that when they went to translate the Bible and they came upon what we call today the word God, the word Lord, it was four letters, and they were so afraid of those letters, they would not try to pronounce that name. Whatever U-Y-H-W-H pronounces, some people say Yahweh, some people say Yah, some people say Yahweh, whatever. We can debate what it means, but those four letters were there, and those Jews,
They don't even say it. They're afraid. They can't even say it. They're not allowed to say his name.
They are terrified by saying it. And we
the Jews,
that,
they can't say his name.
Stick to the topic. I was going to say, on the America thing, yeah, America's going down, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it before it get to where they won't let us move around, but I'm trying to move out this country. I'm trying to move back to the land of Ham right now, and I know some people in Ghana, so that's where probably I'm going to be moving to. So
God bless you,
bro. All those that,
God bless you,
that don't want to be lost in his, what the word say, he said, come out of her, my people. Like he was quoting Revelation 17, said, come on out of my people, so you'll be the partaker of her sins and her plagues. So if you don't want to be partaking in upon the plagues and sins, I advise you to move out of America.
Okay.
Pretty much every country is damned, other than maybe like Africa, even Israel right now. Israel going down too. So, from my studies, from my understanding of the word other things.
Listen.
But I ain't going to say Africa is safe, or I ain't saying nowhere is safe, but that's predominantly America going first, then China going, then I forgot the order after that. But the first two countries that's going to go down as major is America, then China. So those are two places to stay away from.
Well, listen, my brother, I appreciate your comment. And if you have another comment later on, I'm not going to limit some people like some shows. You can comment again, but let me go ahead and get some of these other callers. They probably want to comment on some of the things you said, and we'll bring you back on if time permits, and we got, okay?
Tawada, because I just want you to do one favor for me, for yourself also. Look up Metatron, and that'll edify you more. The word say study yourself to be show yourself approved. So if I bring it, I have to bring it as far as my knowledge of the truth.
How you spelling Metatron? How you spelling Metatron?
Come on, you gotta help me out. You want me to
study? I think it's N-E-T-T-A, like T-R-O-N, like that's what they get. You know that from Transformers, Megatron. That's where he come from. Megatron is like a nickname that you would give Metatron.
Okay. All right, let me move on. I got a lot of callers just popping up here on this dial, so let me move fast. I got a lot of people just in the chat room. It's probably three times as many people in the chat room as it was 5 minutes ago. So let me move on, but I do appreciate your comment, okay?
You have a blessed night. Barakata.
All right.
You too, brother.
And brother there, he has a lot to say. Every time he comes in, he always brings something new to the table. That's what you got to give him credit for. Area code 817-374, 817-374. Go ahead with your comment or question, please.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Yes, okay. We can hear you.
I'm sorry. I wanted to make a comment, number one, to the young man that just called a minute ago. No man knows the hour, and we do not know where anything is going to happen at what sequence that it's going to happen, because God is in control. And there is only one true and living God. And I am a saint and a believer. I follow Christ. But I also wanted to ask a question to the young man that's on the show tonight, the Muslim guy, because
okay.
I've always had these questions about this religion. And
yes.
What I don't understand is, and help me on this, how is it that you can that this religion can take, the Muslim religion, can take some things from the Word of God and only believe some of it, but not all of it, and then make their own religion out of just, you know, I don't know if I'm wording it right, but it's
no,
like...
No, I understand what you're saying. What we as Muslims believe is that, and I just want to say, sister, you know, that, again, I just want to affirm that we as Muslims believe that we are praying to the same God, but have had just different periods of revelation. Abraham had one, and then that revelation or that covenant was replaced by the NGO. We call it the New Testament, the Gospel, under Jesus. And then we believe that Muhammad was the seal of the prophets, and we believe that when Jesus said that a comforter will come, the Spirit of God, that a comforter will come, and you will learn everything that
so
you
Muhammad
need to know
is.
After him. No, I just want to finish, man, please, that we believe that seal
You're
of the
fine.
Prophets was Muhammad. And again, as with the Christians have somewhat, I guess you could say, built on the Old Testament, what we Muslims believe that Islam builds on, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then we have the last of the Quran, the recital. That's our perception. So it's very similar to what Christians have, their experience with the Old Testament. It didn't abrogate it, as Jesus said, he came to fulfill. He didn't came to abrogate. He didn't tell you to do away with the Old Testament. He came to fulfill it. We believe that Jesus foretold the coming of Muhammad. He said that the Comforter will come, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we believe that Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is it was the Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessings be upon him.
Okay, let me jump in just for a second, because I want to say something to the young lady. I'm not a Muslim, okay? First of all, just so I won't say to the young lady, what's your name? If you don't mind, want to give your real name, give us a fake name, just something to call you back.
Sam. It's Sam. Sam.
Okay, Sam. Sister Sam, listen, let me say this to you. One thing I learned is the truth is often stranger than fiction. Okay, the truth is often stranger than fiction. I am not what you call a Muslim. But then again, a Muslim is, Muslim will say, well, Muslim is anyone that follows the Most High. Well, if they want to say it like that, well, I am, because I'm definitely following the Most High, okay? When I say the Most High, I'm talking about the God of the 66 books we know and all the other books that's missing from the 66 books. But let me say this. I want to ask you a question real quick. And this is not what we own, people. I'm not going to stop the Most High, though. If we want to go this way, we'll talk about this if we get more callers talking about it. But I not really want to focus on Islam tonight. Tonight we want to focus on what does Islam have to say about end-time events? Because here's a major religion. If they can say what the Bible is saying with regards to end time events. We need to really listen to that. That means the two major religions agreeing on something? Uh-oh, that's what I'm looking for tonight. But just real quickly, out of respect for you, Sister Sam, I want to say this about Islam. I want to first ask you a question, and I think I know the answer, then I'm going to move on. Who is Allah to you?
Allah is supposed to be another name for God, right?
No, no, no. Now that's a studying. I'm saying prior to you calling, what do you believe about the name Allah? What have your studies taken you? What do you believe so far about it?
I have not studied it, but I do know people that are that religion, and that's what they have told me, that Allah is God, but it's just a different name.
Right, absolutely, because the Quran talks, they believe in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. You quote the Torah, you have any problem.
Mm-hmm.
They have trouble with Christ being the Father, which I do too, because he's not the Father. He's the Son. He spoke of the Father. If we get that right in the Christian world, we'll be halfway with the Muslims. They do not believe that Christ is Allah. He's the Father. Christ said, I do what I see my Father do. We pray to Christ in Christ's name, which is confusing. Christ said, pray to the Father in my name. We pray to him. These are two different beings. It's ludicrous to put Christ, a son, in the shoes of the Father. The Father said to the Son, sit here on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. I'm going to counsel you, young man, so to speak, how to make your enemies your footstool. What? Somebody
okay.
Say Christ is powerful, he's God and all this, and he is, he does house God, but so does all of us. Watch this. Christ is a powerful being. The Bible says all power in heaven and earth has been given to him. But I want to put some on your mind, Sister Sam and Brother Salahuddin. If Christ has been given all power in heaven and earth, and the Bible says it has been, what kind of being is it that gave him that? That's Yahweh. That's Yah. That's Jehovah. Or that is Allah. We talking about power here. So
exactly.
I think a lot of Christians got it really wrong. When you go to, I've been to Israel several times. When you go to Israel, one of the first things you get slapped in the face with, and it will be an assault to your belief system, is how similar Islam is to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Islam is just as polluted with lies as is Christianity. Islam is as incomplete with lies as Christianity. The Muslims try to say, well, no, it's not, but yes, it is, I promise you. From the way the Prophet Muhammad looked, many say he was as black as they come. Other people have it. Whenever you have people, you're going to have these isms. I like what one person said. They said Jesus or Yeshua was not a Christian. And Prophet Muhammad was not a Muslim. Go figure that one. Prophet Muhammad saw the Christian religion, the so-called Christian religion. He had problems with it, and he tried to correct some things. He wasn't a Muslim, though. After everybody come after him, they call themselves following him, and they put that name on them. I'm not knocking anybody calling themselves a Muslim. What I'm saying is Prophet Muhammad was not a Muslim. Honest, real, factual. And Christ was not a Christian. Go figure that.
Sister,
do you have another comment for Brother Salahuddin or myself?
No, I don't. I think I probably came in after after you said what the show was actually about, but I had the opportunity to ask a Muslim that question. You know, why would they? But you know, I want you guys to speak to the point, and I'll just listen. And thank you.
Thank you so
much. I appreciate that. I'm gonna let Brother Salahuddin jump in here, but I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and I appreciate the spirit of that call. And if she want to comment again, I want her to press 1 now. If she'll press 1 now, because her hand is still lifted. And then when she have another question later, she press 1 again. So, sister, if you will, there we go. She's fine now. All right, so if you have a question later on, press 1 again. Y'all, you can ask multiple questions on this show. We don't hold back. Brother Saladin, I know I said a lot. You probably want to comment on some of the things I said to make
well,
the balance go right ahead.
Yeah. It's just that as Muslims, the word Muslim in Arabic means one who submits. And so to that extent, is the Prophet Muhammad, as we believe all the prophets, were again consistent with the definition of what a Muslim is simply one who submits, was a Muslim. He was submitting to the Most High. That's all that Muslim means, just one who submits. And this is something in terms of Islam, and I know we want to keep to the topic about how it relates to the end times, that in terms of the religion of Islam, is that most of the scriptures, as Brother Seth has stated, that virtually all of them will be corrupted. In Islam, we acknowledge that the pure, as Brother Seth has stated, revision, I guess some people would consider revision, but trying to introduce a new epoch, a spiritual epoch, a path to do the will of the Most High God, Yahweh in Arabic, Allah, Elohim in Aramaic or Hebrew, but that there in Islam we know that we say that there'll be in the end times there will be 73 sects of Islam, 73 different divisions, and only one of them will be the true path. It's similar to in Christianity, it says, Jesus said that Esau, in Arabic we call him Esau, Jesus said that the broad is the path to destruction, as narrow is the way to salvation. So again, there's so many parallels to Christianity, but as I found as I became a Muslim, that there are many, in terms of the hadith or the traditions, have been introduced what we call bidah, or innovations where people have tried to vitiate or corrupt the scriptures. So we don't believe that the Quran itself is pretty much intact. You know, the original writings, which were done is just as with Jesus, the Gospels, the Injil, we call it in Arabic, were written after, posthumously after Jesus had passed on, similar to the Quran was recited to Allah Ta'ala, we believe, by the angel Gabriel, and that the books or the chapters or the surahs and the Quran were written posthumously. But again, these were memorization. They were all memorized. But again, it's not an issue in Islam. We don't really, we're prohibited from debating religion. We say, for you, your religion, for me, mine. Because we don't know. This is, I just want to be clear on this. As Muslims, we understand that we don't know who God is going to choose, from what religion God is going to choose people to allow them into heaven. We truly don't say that. We believe that the path of Islam was given to us. God doesn't need us to defend him. Was given to us as a means of maintaining ourselves in an evil world. You know, the moral code and so forth. You know, the rules on how to engage even in battle. These are
I don't want to get too much into. As much as okay. I want right. people to know the history
right.
of Islam, and probably we should have did that first, but mm-hmm. this is a new world order watch society, and we want to
okay.
people.
Yes.
The people in the chat room coming, they want to know what's going on, what's happening
mm-hmm.
with Obama. They want to know what is going on right now in our world. Mm-hmm. Newspaper ads, newspaper subjects, things that's hot on the press right now. What is happening with me and my kids? Is this economy going to fall? What should we do? And, I mean, we may not have all the answers, but I just want to try to address that. Islam people, I'm telling y'all, and I'm going to go to this question, or someone have another question, but Islam, I'm telling y'all, like I told his brother earlier, had it not been for Islam, black people would not know all the accomplishments we've had because, again, Christianity, which I'm a part of, mainly I don't like the name Christianity, but I'm a part of it, okay? I disagree with a lot of it, but I'm a part of it. Closest to that than I would be Islam. And I'm telling y'all, these people, those that have given us and taught us this initially Now, keep in mind, we had Christianity in Africa before Europe was even a while Europe was a baby. So we ain't got this from no white man. We were not told about the gospel by white people. They came way after the fact. But anyway, they did come. And when they came, they they brought so much corruption that they said with the Christianity. So, but Islam is the one that helped us see the true history of African American. I mean, not African American, but Africans, had it not been for Islam. So they're the storekeeper of a lot of truth. And I mean it. I'm not just saying that just to be talking. But we're going to have to cover that a different day. But right now, I want to stick on what is exactly happening. But let me go to this caller first, 817-500, and see what this brother or sister have for us. Go ahead, area code 817-500. You got a question or comment for us? Go ahead, 817-500. I won't mention the rest of the number for your privacy. Go ahead with your question or comment. Hello?
Hello, do you hear me?
We're waiting on you, my brother. Speak up. What's going on? What's your question or comment?
Can you hear me, though?
Yeah, hello, we're waiting on you. We're waiting on you. Go right ahead.
Okay, look here. What about the miracles that exist way amongst the planets, and God gave us what we have? He gave us faces of evidence of things hoped for, things not seen. The miracles that have been proved. We're talking about all these other things, right? But, you know, the thing that you believe in, the thing you don't have, families losing what they have. And the families that believe in and trust in those that went from the old days to the new days, and they believed in God all the way up until this point. Tell me exactly what is the conception of it all when we have in our hearts. We could talk about everybody else, the Quran and this and that, but do the Quran actually have the faith? Can they believe in God when they lose everything and he gives it right back to them? Do they have the evidence of things hoped for, the grain of a mustard seed? We could talk about all this extra stuff, but all this extra stuff ain't got nothing to do with. But I'm just saying it has a lot to do with, because it's knowledge. But has it shown you miracles? Has it opened doors for you? You know, when you was in a way out of no way, you know, when you was lost everything and you went to God and you came to him, you look amongst the stars and you believe in the Most High. Have he came in and gave you the things that you need, your desires, when you lost something, when you're losing your failure? Have he actually gave you the miracle? See, we could talk about all this stuff, but who is he really? You know what I'm saying? We could say the Quran, we could say Yahweh, Jahweh, Lahweh, whatever you want to say. But has he ever really came in?
Okay.
So the whole point of it is what I'm trying to say.
Caller, let me jump in here, because you're repeating yourself. We get what you're saying. Let me answer, okay? And I'll let my brother answer. First of all, the Bible said Christ came, bring salvation to mankind. Salvation is more than just miracles. I mean, salvation is more than eye-popping miracles. Salvation is ridding your mind from lies. Salvation is salvation. Hold on.
You're talking about salvation. I'm talking about faith, evidence, things, hope for evidence, things not seen. See, we on a different
spectrum. Right. Hold on. You're talking about having faith so much that you see miracles, and is God? Is you want to know?
No, I didn't say that.
Hold on. Let me get out my point. I'll let you listen. I'll let you finish. Let me get out my point, and I want you to let my guest get his point out, and then we'll go back to you and see if that you know is what you needed, or we may move on. But let me just say this real quick, time sake. You're talking about faith. You're not going to have faith unless you have a relationship with the Most High. So you're saying, I want to know, where is that? Do Islam have that? Do you have that? What I'm saying to you is, we want the Most High in our life, be it miracles that pop out of your head, or if it's knowledge he's giving you about what the enemy is plotting to destroy you and your family, that's a part of salvation. We want to know about how to eat right. That's a part of salvation. You just
Amen.
Can't have miracles all day long popping out, people's arms growing out, dead raising all day long. We need that.
That's what the Messiah did. We need that. No, I mean, I'm very serious. We need that. But you also need other things that salvage or save you. How to eat right.
Right. I like that.
Hold on. Please.
I like what you just said.
I'm going to have to mute you. What I'm saying is I don't want to put you on hold, so please let me talk, and then let the guests talk, and then you can talk, okay? We got to let each other, we got to value each other's opinions. What I'm saying is salvation is an ongoing process. It's not just what miracles Christ did. That was a part of it. It was also his teaching. It was also him dying on the cross. It was also him taking away the sins of the world. It was also everything the prophets did. They did miracles. They taught. They did lots of things. They taught on lots of different subjects. You have stumbled up on a show that is dealing with salvation. We're talking about how do we protect ourselves from what's about to happen on the planet, within the United States. We got a brother on that's a Muslim. We want to know what is it that the Quran says. Does the Quran agree with the Bible at all? If we can get this brother, and he have already shared quite a few things, but as the show go on, I'm sure he's got more to share of how the Quran and the Bible says the same thing. Anytime the Quran and the Bible says the same thing. Hold on. I'm sorry to do that, but I just put you on mute. I muted you because you got to let me finish what I'm saying, okay? So I'll put you on hold and just listen. Then I'll let the brother share. Then I want you to come back on and finish talking, but you got to let me finish. I know it's a little windy, but, you know, just bear with us. All I'm saying is salvation is more than just miracles. Miracles is more than just stuff that happened that you call a miracle with somebody's eyes seeing and blind, walking dead. That's a type of miracle. A miracle is just nothing more than Yahweh or Allah doing anything. Anything he does is a miracle. That's all a miracle is. It's just anything that the Most High does, period. Well, the Most High is warning us through his prophets. And to me, that's a miracle. Brother Salahuddin, go ahead and comment, and we're going to bring the brother back online. Right now, I got him on mute. And then I want you to, if you, after you're done, we'll bring him back. Go right ahead.
Well, yes, I know when he said Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Jesus did say that an evil generation, and we are living in an evil generation, will look for miracles and none will be given. So, again, I guess you said we're getting sectarian and we're trying to pull it all together so that we, Jesus also said, watch and pray, which means, you know, look at the end times to see as a confirmation to strengthen our faith, all of us, as people of the book. And in these end times, you know, what are the signs? As you said, it's not just in Islam we're talking sectarian, but there are people who we can look to who are part of revelation who are not believers. And Jesus's time, those people who were involved, many of those, such as Caesar and the Romans, they played a significant role in that scenario. But they themselves were not believers. So we also need to be cognizant of those, and we get caught up again in the sectarian discussions, while those who don't believe in anything, the children of the devil, if you will, I guess some people say that, maybe not, but those are the ones who oftentimes are the ones who are making the most significant strides in trying to counteract the will of God. You know, there are people like Eustace Mullins, who talks about the New World Order. We talked about the Illuminati, I know you did, you know, the Freemasons. And in fact, you know, I think I shared that with you before, I'm actually a Freemason, a Prince Hall Freemason. You know, a lot of people, some people won't say that, but you see, you know, the compass on the back of a lot of people's cars, but I'm also a member of that organization. And, you know, we know that the Founding Fathers were Freemasons, so that is also, and some people say that, you know, again, I know we talk about what Islam says, but there are some religious or some of the artifacts or some of the manifestations of various religions that are part of the Freemasons. So again, yes.
Hold on, the caller actually asked about miracles, and you
right.
kind of started down that road, but I wanted you to address, because he specifically said to you, what
mm-hmm.
about Islam? How about the miracles? You know, do you have the miracles? You believe in God? I want you to address him, because when I open back up his line, I know he's going to be saying
yes,
that. So, I mean, in your delivery, please comment on that.
Yes, well, in terms of Islam, again, we look to the signs. Islam looks at the miracles of Allah in a very natural way, that his creation, as you said, Brother Seth, is the miracle. You know, the fact that the earth revolves around the sun, to those who, in Islam, the Quran says, for those who have awareness, let them see that, you know, that the similitude, the law of God can lose the similitude of an ant. The miracles are all around us. As you said, that all creation is a miracle, and that's exactly it. He made it out of nothing. He made us as human beings out of nothing.
This brother is talking about, and I hear what you're saying, but this is
right.
talking about, like in
right.
your life, you stuff that you can say, oh, this was a miracle. Look at what the Most High did. He's saying, can you do that? Do you have that in Islam? Do you have right now show enough miracles that he can? Matter of fact, let me do this. Let me just open it up and make sure that I'm explaining
yes.
what he's saying right. Eric code 817-500. I have to mute you. Sorry about that, but you got to let us talk. Now that this brother has tried to answer a little bit, am I feeling you right? I mean, what is he answering your question? Am I answering your question?
Well, I'm going to put it like this. I'm from the dark places, you know what I'm saying, other side of the tracks, bamboo, root, wayne, bushwag, okay? Now, all the things that I realized from the ages of time, what I learned, and I know that God is a miracle worker. Now, I understand all the concept what y'all talking about. It sounds real good, but through my experiences, God has never let me down. We don't want to talk about Yahweh, this and that. I just know it's God, G-O-D, Jesus Christ died for my sin. Don't get me wrong, brother, the other guy. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? I've seen the miracles. I've seen what I prayed for, and it came true. You know, we ain't got to holler over. We ain't got to jump over no bleachers or nothing like that. I could tell the world, experiencing the things that I experienced, believing in him and trusting in him. It's not that we probably believing in the same thing. You know, we probably on the same level. But
yes.
through my experiences, through hard times and, treacherous times, when things was going bad and I trusted in and believed and I prayed about it, it came true. There is no other substitute that I can actually establish because he's been there for me. You know, he's opened the doors when things were bad, and I prayed about it, and I had the faith. Like you said, we said F-A-I-T-H, the grain of a mustard seed. It came from the blind side, and it gave me strength. It gave me ability to move on, to correct my life, just like the whole world. So what my belief is, it's not to corrupt you or belittle you, but I'm just saying in general, I've experienced it. I experienced what God has in store for me because, for one, I look at it like this. We all have our own beliefs and our own culture and all this, and it's all about culture. But you know what? If your electricity get cut off tomorrow and you lose your job, who can you count on? You know what I'm saying? If they tell you tomorrow and you got to go live up on the bridge, you don't want to go live up on a bridge. You don't want to go out there and your children is gone and your family is gone and your job is gone. What you going to do? Okay? So that's what I'm talking about, the grain of a mustard seed, believing and trusting in him, faith, that there's some things not seen. We can talk the word, but do we live the word? God say, if it's Yahweh, Nahweh, Noway, God said one thing in common, believe in me and trust in me. And I will take you and I will give you what you need, only if you believe. See, everybody believe in everything. Hold on. Let me say this. I'm going to be quiet. Hold on. I'm through. No, we can talk about all this stuff. We got money, right? See, money right now, money your job, your situation, whatever you're going through, that's your God. You know, if you ain't got no money, who you going to believe in then? You know what I'm saying? I'm from the other side of the tracks, bamboozled, hoodwinked, bushwhacked, but I already know because I've seen what he can do for me. So I'm not doubting what you believe in and what you trust in and your relationship or whatever your culture may be, whatever your religion may be. I'm not talking about that. I feel you. You know what I'm saying? You're good. You sound a good word. Your words is good. But actually, when it all boils down to the point, can you really believe in something that'll work for you? That's all I'm saying. So I've experienced it, so I'm trying to pass it on. You know, my word might not mean a doggone thing.
Well, listen, caller, listen, let me do this. Out of respect to the other people and everything, let me just kind of move on. I hear what you're saying. I'm not trying to say it ain't valuable. As a matter of fact, I will say this about your comments. It all boils down to what you just said. If you don't believe enough in the God you serve to where you can't get your needs met, then what do you believe? Oh, I hear you loud and clear. And it's right. But what I want you to understand is don't get hooked on. I was in Israel one time. And I remember going to Israel, and I'm saying some of the same things you said to the Hebrew Israelites there in Dimona. I was saying, yeah, y'all talk a lot about the law and this and all this Hebrew stuff. And of course, I believe I'm Israel. I do believe that. So they didn't have to teach me that. But I asked them a question. I want you to listen to this, Brother Saladin. I said to them, do y'all believe in the 9 gifts of the Spirit? They was like, stumbling because up until then they were scholars. They know all about the law. They know these people are the sharpest people of any Hebrew Israelites or Israelites that I've ever met. Okay, they're sharper than sharp on Old Testament law. But when you start getting the New Testament, you start talking about the miracles and because if the God you serve cannot manifest today, right now, with signs, wonders, as the Scripture says in the New Testament, how that the disciples went out and the Most High would confirm that He was with them by miracles. If it ain't happen today, we just another person arguing a religion. And we need to shut up. Hold on, one more thing. We need to just chill out because religion is nothing. Nobody need religion. I'm telling you, nobody need religion. People need relationship. That's what this call is saying. So believe me, I feel you 100%, but I'm going to put you on hold because I got to move on. I got some other questions.
Hold on. Let me say this right quick and I'm going to shut up. Give me a minute. Can I have a minute? Can I have a minute?
1 minute, literally.
Okay. I don't know if you guys know about the guys in the Bible that's called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you probably heard all the stories of Noah's Ark, It was a story, right? And this story might not even consist to this day. But check this out. They say, look here, everybody going to bow before this idol of God, okay? It was 3 guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, and they said, if you don't bow down our God, we're going to put you in the fire of furnace. They lit the furnace up. They got it real hot. Even the guards around that got it hot, they died because it was so hot. Okay? Now, listen here. Now, that story, what I'm saying to you, that little old story right there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they put them in the fire of furnace, it ended up folk. Okay? And they was wondering why everybody, they said, no, we're not bowing down before them idol gods. See, we ain't talking about religion. We're talking about the Most High that'll give you what you need. In the least when you expect it. So at the same time, when they stepped in that fiery furnace, them guys didn't die. And they said, wait a minute, it's supposed to be 3 now. Why is it 4 in there? And they didn't die. Why? Because they believe in the Most High. See, that's the whole problem of the whole world, because they believe in religion. They ain't believing in what the Most High consists of. They look up in the sky, they see a big old sky up there, they're, oh, yeah, you know. But when it comes down talking about all this, well, I mean, about the religion and the concept and the Quran and all this, but they ain't got no faith in nothing. Because, you know, just that little story right there gave you the miracle of what life consists of. He said, trust in me and believe in me, or I'll take you to the heights.
Okay.
Listen,
I got you. Yeah, I gave you 2 minutes instead of one. I got you.
Hold on.
I got some other callers.
We know miracles, but we know miracles
okay.
is our money now. Okay? Miracles is our money.
All right.
Our money
listen,
is
I got
favor,
you.
We ain't got no money.
I'm going to have to mute him. He's just not listening. So let me move on to the next caller.
Can I make one comment? Hold on one second.
Let's do this. This person been holding a long time, and I just
yeah, but
I
just wanted to comment question. To what he said before we move on, just
okay.
very quickly.
Caller,
thank
focus.
You, Chris,
if you can just hold on a second, go
yeah.
ahead with the comment.
Yeah, no, because you know, again, I think in terms of what we consider to be religion, it's your internal experience with it. Whether you look at the structure and you, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are very familiar with the story, the three youths that they were found dancing in the fire. And the people who threw them into the fire themselves were consumed by the fire, but the three youths were not. So, you know, I'm familiar with that. But they were practicing under the Torah. They were practicing Hebrew youths. They were practicing as the Jews did. So you know, again, I'm not, I think the dispute whether structure or religion or organization, however you practice it, whether you choose to practice it congregationally or you, it depends on your individual experience with it. And again, as I said before, Jesus said that an evil generation, and we live in evil times, will be looking for miracles and none will be given to them. So I don't think, again, as I think you said, it's not about looking so much for miracles. It's really just submitting to the will of God and just looking for the signs of Jesus' coming, as we Muslims also do.
Right. Well, the caller hung up, so... We're just hopefully they'll call back. I don't know if they got bumped off the line or, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's why I'll be trying to get to them. But
sorry about
your
that.
The point you made was very well taken, and I will agree with you again. Like I said, Anish, early on, let's see if this is him calling back. Anyway, but I feel you, my brother. I feel you. I feel the caller, too. I didn't want him to think I was being rude to him, but... It is all. If you don't have miracles, and but what I don't like, what I want to make clear though, Brother Saladin, is this: we just can't make it like if you're not doing miracles like raising the dead, you're not affected. I just don't want that to be perceived.
Exactly.
Here we are. We on a blog. We're trying to talk about some things that goes on this show. We talk about a lot of things in the past. We've addressed, and we're not done yet. We may address some more of these before it's over with. But we've talked about things like the Rothschild, Skull and Bones. We've talked about just government assassins, and we talked about the economies of the world, and how that. We just talk about almost anything you can just almost think of on this show. This is a show where we do that. But the reason we're talking, we ain't just trying to be talking callers. I'm addressing this to the last caller. We ain't just saying all this just to be running our mouth. We're saying this because people really want to know. They want to know what's going on. There's a lot of smart people up this time of night trying to find out what is going on. I love my country, and I want to know what's happening with my country, and they have a right to do that. Unfortunately, ABC, CBS, CNN, these people are not going to tell you the truth. I learned that a long time ago. If you listen to them, I promise you, you are a robot. Every feeling you have, every thought you have, is not every thought, but a lot of your thoughts and feelings, you're programmed just like a robot. And this is why... We don't believe when we hear somebody say 911 was the inside job. We don't believe it. It just sounds crazy. But we don't have no problem believing that some man on a kidney machine crawling around the caves in Afghanistan can come over here, educate all these boys, get them all to do this. We can believe all this. We can believe that some hit the Pentagon knowing there's no plane nowhere, no wings nowhere, no engine nowhere, no parts of a plane, and we'll believe, we'll look right at the footage and believe that a plane hit the Pentagon without seeing one single part of a plane. And they can later on bring a tire and say this was a part of it. And we think because that one little tire they found, that's substantial. That's enough to believe that a whole big old plane hit it. When people are saying on the side, I saw what hit it. It didn't look like a plane. It was like a plane, but it didn't have windows. And people in the military know exactly what that is. That is a such and such missile. We can hear all this stuff. We just don't believe it because we're brainwashed. We're so brainwashed. I don't know about nobody else, Brother Saladin, but before I leave this planet, I would like to know what just happened during my lifetime. If I die at 68, I'm just making up a number. Hopefully I live to be 120. But if I die at, 78, I want to know before I die, what exactly just happened? I'm 78 years. What really is going on? All these isms, sexism, racism, religion, patriotism. Why should you be pro-America? You should be pro-planet. None of us have a right to claim America. I'm American. I'm pro-America. Down with all the other countries. I'm pro-Iraq. Down with all the other Americans. I'm pro-Israel. Down with all the other. You don't have no right whatsoever to claim and put a flag up for nothing but the flag of humanity and the flag of the planet. Should have two flags up. One of them got people on them, the other one got the planet on it. That is what you're responsible for if you call yourself a follower of the Most High. Every one of us needs to be arrested, and I'm talking about a mental arrest. We need to be arrested for that foolishness, thinking that we are of the United States. The United States is right now is on a imperialistic mindset. We're going around and exploiting nations as fast as we can get to them. We're setting up puppet regimes like you set up houses or ironing boards. I mean, we're setting them up as fast as you can set up an ironing board to iron. We're setting up these puppet leaders all across the world. We got CIA officials making sure we know everything significant wherever great raw materials at. All you got to do is you want to follow the materials we need the most. Just uranium and all these materials.
Yeah. Can I just interject? And I just want to dovetail what you said, because I know you said if I get an inspiration to just kind of chime in. And again, that's why it's important, because we're, being sectarian. But you can believe in your religion or individually, but as I hear you saying, and as what we're trying to convey here, is that we are living in end times, and it's not just about the collapse of America, which is also about the end of an evil era that is being driven by Satan, the devil. And we're looking at signs. You said the some people say the Illuminati, or some people even cite the Freemasons, which I do not subscribe to that belief, but as being an instrument of Satan. But there are books, as you said, there are people, is what you said about looking at, and most of us in this country are oblivious to the signs of the New World Order or one world government, which is never, from our understanding, has never been established in human history. We're not aware of it, if it ever had. There's a gentleman named John Stockwell who wrote a book called Endless Enemies. He was the highest-ranking CIA whistleblower, and he, in his book, spoke of how there is the issue of the world order of the North enslaving the South. Why is it that people in South America and South and in Africa are being dominated by these powers? In his book, In Search of Enemies, John Stockwell, the highest-ranking, again, CIA officer, a white man who is a whistleblower and itemized in his book about how that's being done. Another book by John Perkins, who wrote a book called about the, what Brother Seth spoke of as these puppet regimes that are being set up. John Perkins wrote a book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman, how he is an IMF, a World Bank, would go and try to, and if the rulers of these African countries would not submit, that they had basically three approaches, that they would come to them and offer the money, and if they to allow the multinational corporations to have free reign in their country and exploit their resources and their people, and if the leaders of those countries did not submit to those requests, they would offer the money, and after that, if they didn't accept the money, then they would simply have them killed or have them removed and replaced with the puppet regime. And this is what's been going on throughout the world. Again, John Stockwell, CIA, former CIA operative, Bureau Tree stated it. There's a gentleman named Michael Scheuer, who was the head of the CIA Bin Laden unit before, who wanted to kill Bin Laden before 9/11. Michael Scheuer speaks about, again, what the CIA is doing and how, you know, America is has been influenced, particularly Israel is playing, the Zionist movement is playing a very pivotal role in the end times. They're not functioning as Jews. The Zionist Theodor Herzl was an avowed atheist. Golda Meir, they were all avowed atheists. Those who established what and the true Jews, the so-called Jews that. There are many Jews, so-called Orthodox Jews, which we question if their identity is Jews. We say really that they are Khazars, people. Jesus talked about people who say that they're Jews who are not really Jews. These are not really Jews, but there are Orthodox Jews who live like in New York City and areas who refuse to go to Israel because they believe that it will be the Messiah who will bring them back. So there are those who reject who identify as Jews, white Jews, who reject the existence of Israel, and again, the Zionist movement is, I believe, can be identified as part of the end time prophecies, as the fake Jews and also those who are trying to establish the New World Order. So, do you have anything more to say, brother?
No, I was just listening to you. Just listening to you share. And I think you're right. I am familiar with John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I know some people are listening saying, what is that? Who is he? But this is a person that was an economic hitman. You say, well, what is an economic hitman? This is a gentleman who, a white gentleman, older gentleman, who I guess he don't want to die and meet the Most High and have to give an account of all of the people he's murdered, basically. So he's just confession. That's why it's called the Confession of an Economic Hitman. He's an economic hitman. He'll go into a country, like you say. They'll create all these things that this country needs, say, hey, don't you need your infrastructure to be done? And they'll bring American corporations to come over there and get all this stuff done for them. And the game is to get them in debt. And when they get them so much in debt they can't pay, they turn them into debt slaves. They say, you know, you owe us, do this, do that. And that's where the SAPs come in, the structure adjustment programs I talked about earlier. That's where they say, okay, you owe us money for all these things we've done in your country. So what we want you to do is pay us back by doing this. You know, represent us at economic forums. Vote our way at the United Nations. When we get this particular issue come up at the United Nations, if you want to, since you owe us all these millions of dollars and you can't pay, we'll let you slide by not having to pay us, but you got to vote this way. And this is how America gained power. They get all these nations, especially African nations, they get them trapped with this economic hitman with debt. And with all these banks, the World Bank is a part of it. They loan these people money that they cannot pay back, and they cause them slavery. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than the economic hitman. Randall Robinson in his book, The Debt, talking about reparations, talk about how that America has the African farmers just by the throat, by tricking them, you know, by this whole, it's some call a farm subsidy. Now, I want y'all to listen to this. I know a lot of y'all are not economic people. You don't care about it. It's boring to you. But listen to this. I am one of those that don't. I'm like you. But some of this stuff is so intriguing, it makes you want to learn about it. But listen to this, folks. There are people, farmers, that get a subsidy from the United States, your tax dollars, and they get the subsidy.
To not
those
sell.
To say not it again?
Sell. No, I was just, I'm sorry, complete. I said, look, they get a subsidy to not sell, to underproduce to drive the prices of food up. An artificial
well,
scarcity.
That can be a part of it, but they also give they give them a subsidy where they can be able to outbid these African farmers on a global market scale. We're talking about on a global world scale. These African farmers have all these different products, and they can't get the kind of business that the American farmers can give because the American government is giving their farmers, so to speak, under the table this subsidy that allows them to lower their prices to where the African farmers can't even compete on the global scale. Randall Robinson, in this book called The Debt, really goes into this, and he's arguing that we need reparations because we have been raped at every single turn. Somebody once made this statement to me, Brother Saladin. They said, if you really want to understand the United States and what's going on, we keep saying, what's going on, what's going on? I've said it about 15 times on this program tonight, what's going on? If you really want to know what's going on, they say there's two things you should study. Look at the prison system, because they don't hold back on the prison system. These people are showing up modern-day slaves, those in prison. Look at the prison system. And the other thing is, look at economics. Look at economics. Look how people can create wealth from thin air on Wall Street. Look at how many people... Look at the Madoffs of the world. You know, everybody know about Madoff, the guy that stole millions from people. But it ain't just Madoff. It's lots of people. Businessman, as Noam Chomsky say, when you see two, and Noam Chomsky is an older white man. He's probably the brightest mind on the planet. I think I admire his mind more than anybody on the planet. Mm-hmm. Noam Chomsky, getting my vote, is one of the smartest minds on the planet. He said, Noam Chomsky said, whenever you see two businessmen, white businessmen talking, they're conspiring against the consumer. They don't work on morals. These people are vicious snakes. He didn't say a vicious snake, that's me talking. So what I'm saying is, folks, at some point, the Most High has got to pay back. He's got to punish. He's got to fulfill prophecy and deal with this place called America that have caused so much pain and hunger all across the world, that have miseducated people, that have literally taken truth, changed museums and hid. I mean, all you got to do, folks, if you want to see a physical proof of what I'm saying is go to the British Museum. Just simply... When you're in London, go to the British Museum. If you got the funds, go to Egypt and go to their museum, and you will see why I rest my case.
All the artifacts are there,
yeah,
and also
all
many
artifacts are stolen from Egypt,
and a lot of them
right
are here.
There.
Right, a lot of them. Those artifacts are here in New York. The second largest repository of the Egyptian artifacts is here in New York City at the Brooklyn Museum. They stole it from in England, and they're here in the Brooklyn Museum in New York City.
Hold on one second. We got another question. Y'all, with your questions, you've got to be patient with us. You know, we just can't. So just hold your hands up a little longer. But I think 817-374, I think she had a comment. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line, and she can let us know whether or not she had a question or comment. Eric Coates, 817-374, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I did. I had a question, and it's pertaining to something that was said earlier on in the conversation about the returning of Christ, of Jesus. And I wanted to ask his opinion of, I can't pronounce the guy's name that's on the phone with you.
No, Salahuddin. Hi, man.
It's Salahuddin.
Salahuddin. Okay,
right.
So what I wanted to ask was, you, and forgive me if I'm wrong and if I heard you wrong, but did you say that Jesus was going to come back in the form of a human being, like the Antichrist or something like that?
Yes. As we agree that Jesus will come back in as a human being, and he will say that, tell everyone that he was not God. That's what we believe.
Okay. Now, hold on. Let me ask you a question about that very comment she asked. She asked you a question, but I'm going to ask you a question on top of her question.
Sure.
Now, when you say he's not God, what do you mean? He's not? What do you mean? Because remember, Christ got in trouble and almost got stoned for saying that. They said, we're not stoning you because you do good things. We're stoning you because you, being a man, says you are God. And he went on to say, didn't you hear what David said? That we are gods, but if we don't obey, we'll die as mere men. So Christ said out of his own mouth. See, this real quick, because sometimes I think we're saying the same thing, and I don't want this to be the case tonight. And the sister said,
I want to clarify before you go further that we do not, Muslims do not believe that Jesus was crucified nor that he was killed. We believe that was a fabrication in the scriptures. So as you said, I mean, we believe that there have been distortions and there have been misrepresentations in the previous scriptures, and that's why there was a final revelation.
So Jesus is going to come back as the Antichrist, is what you're saying?
No. He's going to come back as the Christ. The Antichrist is called the Dajjal. He's going to come back to simply state that he is was not the Son of God. He was not God. We believe that he was another messenger. We call him in Arabic, Anbiya, another prophet. Yes. And
okay,
he ushered
now,
in
hold
the
on.
Carbon.
That's what I just wanted clarity on.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that your end of your question?
That is the end of my question. He pretty much answered my question, and it sounds like, you know, I mean, different religions are, you know, just different religions, and, you know, people just believe differently, but I believe a little differently, but that's it, that he's entitled to, you know, what he believes, but, you know, hey, Jesus is coming, and the end times is coming, and there's no denying it, you know, so.
Not at all.
Yeah, like I always
say,
in the end, this is what I always say, in the end, there's no denying the truth. And that is it. And that was the end of my question.
Well, I thank you for that. I mean, I appreciate the spirit. By the way, she asked that. She seemed very humble. I appreciate callers like that.
Yes.
Area code 708903. Somebody else got a question or a comment. Area code 708903. Go ahead with your question, comment.
Shalom, Brother Gabriel again. I might make an enemy tonight, but the Most High told me you have to work in the truth. John 8:32, see, know the truth and it should make you free. So, brother, with the Islam and the Mason thing, I'm have to cut you with the Mason thing. The Most High said in James 5:12, have no covenant with no man, nothing under the sea, above the sea, and all those things. Basically, your covenant with the Mason, you need to cut that if you're following the Most High. Whatever you want to call him, Allah. Let me break this down. Allah himself was among 360 Persian mythology gods. Look that up. He was chosen by Muhammad, who was a false prophet, because if you read in your Quran, it tells you that the prophecy land is through the Israel. Ishmaelites did not have the prophecy land. So read your Quran, edify yourself, and I didn't want to cut you with that.
Let me ask you something.
Every religion is a lie. You follow any religion, you're going to hell if you believe everything in that religion. And it may be strong, but the word is follow the law, statutes, and commandments. He gave you no religion. He gave you an instruction.
Let's break this down. Hold on a second. Let's break this down, because I really am not going to run from nothing you just said, but let's break it down. First things first. If you said the Most High is speaking to you, fine, let's do it. Let's listen to the Most High. But let's break down everything. You just can't throw out nine rocks. And just let's break it down. Okay, first of all, one thing I want to ask you about, and I'm not trying to defend the brother because he can defend himself. You don't need me to defend himself. But what I want to say to you about one thing I do know about something you said, and I want to admire you. I want to compliment you for standing up for what you believe, even if I disagree with you. I want to definitely give you high marks for standing up for what you believe. That's all I hear. This brother's basically saying, look, I don't believe it. The sister earlier was saying, listen, she was a little bit more mild, a little bit more soft in her approach as a lady, but she still was firm in saying, so I give y'all lots of points for that. That's what this show is about. Don't run from no battle. If you got to want to tell this brother you feel like what he believes in is of the enemy, do that, but come with the facts. Now, let me just challenge one little thing you said about facts that I think I've researched, and that is about Allah. About, yes, there was this God called Allah with all these, but most Muslims I tell that to, they say this, even if there was a God named Allah made of wood, I don't serve him. I serve the God of the Old Testament, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have issues with Islam, with Ishmael, you know, the whole Ishmael, Isaac thing, and that's where they're at. So,
let me say this. I mean, I can speak for Muslims, I'm sure, you know, because I am one. But as I said, this is really basic. In Islam, we say, for you, your religion, for me, mine. The gentleman has stated, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name, that religion, right, is antithetical. All religion is wrong, but then you take a sectarian, if we will, position by casting stones or derogating someone else's belief, and that's basically what taking a religious stance is. You know, so can I finish what I'm saying? I've been very quiet. I really haven't even responded much to you. So really, basically, I think that the approach is not what we believe, because none of us knows exactly what God, this is all an issue of faith. As you said, you quoted, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's it. When it comes to someone else's religion, you quote that and move on. As I said to you, what I'm saying is to you, we're discussing the end times. Whatever faith I have, I'm not going to change that. I don't expect you to change it. So the focus is to move on. The goal is that we're in dangerous times, to not focus on the government. Don't rely on the government. Don't rely on anything. Turn to each other. Turning to each other, turning to your God. And I think that to say that to avoid, I encourage you, whatever your belief is, to go to your church. You know, as a Muslim, of course, this is my belief, and I would prefer you come to mine, but no, I'm not going to try to convert you or proselytize you. I'm going to encourage you to go where you feel comfortable and coalesce with people, because there will be a time where we cannot, again, the end times, sticking to the topic, the end times will be such that the government won't be there to help you. So even these discussions will be meaningless, you know? So that's what I encourage everyone to do.
Let me say this. Hold on, I got to jump in here, y'all. In about 2 minutes, we're going to lose everybody that's listening to us on the Internet. So I'm telling you, please call the phone number at the top of the page there, the 760-283-0838, 760-283-0838. Otherwise, I'll lose you in exactly 90 seconds. So these brothers are really on some very good, strong conversation here. If you want to hear the rest, please call the number. Otherwise, we're going to lose you. All of this will be archived, but I want you to hear it tonight. Okay, those of you on the phone lines, stay where you're at. Everything will be fine. If you have a question, remember, hit 1 on your phone. Go ahead with y'all's dialogue.
Well, this is what I wanted to say. The Muslim thing, I was almost a Muslim. I was in a gang. I was a 400 hustler from Chicago, right? I was right around the street from Farrakhan Mosque. I used to visit there a couple of times. Long story short, I started off as a Christian from Bourbon, or so-called Christian, because I learned Christian was called, the word originally meant smear ones. So basically that's an insult. So my point is, I had a little upbringing in Christianity, in Islam, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But since I prayed to the Most High and said, and asked him, what's the truth? And he led me to his truth. If you're of the slave descent, I'm going to tell you like this. I was taught that when we came off the ships, we spoke Islam, we was Islamic. No, But if you remember, one of the most famous songs of slave song was called Kumbaya, K-U-M-B-A-Y-A-H. It said in English,
come,
it means
by
come
here.
By God. Come by here, y'all. So that's Hebrew. That is from Hebrew descent. So long story short, I'm not trying to insult your religion. I'm just trying to edify you on the truth. If you're following a religion, learn the history of it. For if you actually
I just want to say this, please. I'm not even saying you don't know the history. Yeah, I just want to interject because when you make those statements, you're assuming that I don't know the history of it. That's what I'm saying. I think, again, I'm not going to begrudge you your religion. And when we overstep our boundaries, when we start to what we call pontificate to other people about what we assume they don't know or we think they know. I don't assume you don't know, and I think it behooves all of us to not assume anything about the other person. I assume that you're on the path that you need to be on, and I'm on the path that I need to be on, and Brother Seth is on the path that he needs to be on. And it's really the will of the Most High, whichever direction we go in, up or down.
You're
so
right.
That's not, to me, it's not the issue. The issue is, again, we have some very practical earthly issues. We don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Now, whatever we come together from, whatever spiritual background, whatever we come from, that now we have a very real. They have what they call an ecumenical movement. I'm sure you've heard of it, where people of different faiths are coming together, trying to deal or address the very practical worldly issues that we're presented with. So I think that's what I think the Brother Seth show is about. Yeah, we can inquire somewhat to get some understanding, mutual understanding, but after we do that, and I hear what you're saying, I'm not going to assume anything about anybody else. My goal is basically we have a dialogue, come together, we have some very real issues, and to help you get to where you need to go. I'm not here to convert you. I think that's where we have a problem. When you try to convert other people, then you have a problem. You know, eventually my goal would be to convert you. That would be wonderful. As a Muslim, I would love to see you go the way that I like, and I hear you. But I'm not going to disrespect your path, because I may very well be wrong, and you may very well be wrong. So I think, you know, it's not about what we do as individuals. God is in control. We don't have to defend God. We don't have to defend our paths or try to get others to walk our path as we see it.
Let me do this, and then I want to hear what the brother have to say to what you just said. I want to hear his response to what you just said. Let me do a few little things and I'll be right back, okay? Just hold that thought, okay? Just trying to find some hear a word from our sponsor, just so everybody can take a breather. Just 1 second, all right?
Shalom. My name is Kingdom. I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening to our Smooth Stone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S .com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Fire Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible.
All right, and I'll just make that a little shorter just for time, since we're over time. But go right ahead with what y'all were saying, please.
Go ahead, brother. I ain't got to dominate. You know, you can speak on.
No, I just hear it. You know, whatever you feel like you want to share.
Well, let me say this, because he said a lot when he first came on, and he was very, and I don't want him to lose no heat. I want you to stay passionate, brother. I'm coming, brother, to the caller. Please stay strong and stand up to what you feel is not right. But I do think Brother Salahuddin has some points. We just can't assume people don't know. But, I mean, some of the things you said, I mean, I'm not a Muslim. I don't go to a mosque. That's the reason why.
Obviously, I don't believe some things, but I've learned something about the truth. The truth is often stranger than fiction. And I know if you ever go to Israel, you're going to get this in your face. Every single time a believer, I don't like the word Christian, but every time a believer goes to Israel, they see this right in their face, and it's strong. You're going to see Arabs and Christianity, Islam and Christianity in a mix like you have never seen it. Every time you see a mosque, you're going to hear people in the background, call to prayer. And you're gonna have a hard time calling these people terrorists when they constantly are calling the people to prayer. You're going to hear it everywhere you go. Every time the so-called Jews do something, the Muslims, and you would think, well, the Muslims just copping off. No, they're not. This is the same people. They're very much alike. It all goes back to the story with Isaac and Ishmael. You know, it's the same people. Abraham is responsible for these three religions, Islam, so-called Christianity, and I say so-called because it's not called Christianity, and Judaism. I'm telling you, all of us are linked to Abraham, and we've been lied to so much, there's books of the Bible missing. I've just learned what everybody should read. Everybody should read Romans 2, where it talks about the Gentiles don't have none of this. They don't have none of these laws. These are backwards people. They don't have no law. They never heard. I mean, they from Noah, but they just forgot. So they have turned into just, you know, heathens. But it says that some of them by their own conscience keep the law. They never heard of it. They don't have no Quran. They don't have no 66 books. I'm talking about Romans 2, y'all, where it says that there is the Hebrew that have the law and they have the Father, but they're not right. They don't obey. They circumcise, but they're not right. So they, because their heart is not right, their circumcised penis is really uncircumcised.
Circumcision of the heart.
Even though they're obeying all these laws, even though they ban all these laws, because their heart ain't right, it's as if they're not circumcised. Then it goes on to say, here comes somebody that's not circumcised, talking about the Gentiles. They're not circumcised. They don't know about Yahweh. They don't know about whatever you want to call the Most High. They don't know about none of them names. They don't know none of that. They heathens, but they follow their conscience. And it goes on to say that these people, because they say true to their conscience, it says their conscience is judging them. I mean, please read Romans 2. It really goes into this. And it says that they are keepers of the law by their conscience. That is enough to shut up every religion on the planet. If you don't know, you can't trust the Bible, and you don't know whether to read the Quran, you don't know whether to read the Bible, you don't know whether to trust this preacher, you don't know what to read, you might want to go to Apocrypha, you don't know what books to read.
I just want to say that it's, again, this is, we sometimes disparage, whatever, it's semantics, what do we call it, whatever a person's, I mean, this was a product. The Bible itself is a product of a religion, not just one, which is really just an organized faith. That's really it. I mean, we say that, and then we can interpret that statement you just made many different ways. You know, it doesn't. We weren't there, so we don't know exactly how that was phrased. And of course, according to, you know, how the different translations, whether some of the original meaning was not lost, and we also acknowledge that the scriptures have been tampered with. So, you know, again, to say that, again, it's real basic, to disparage whatever path a person takes, their spiritual path, whether it's congregational or whether it's as an individual. You know, the goal really is for us to coalesce, and then eventually it would come back to some kind of congregational, organized type of understanding or practice. So because without that, then you have chaos. And the scriptures in the Bible talk about, you know, you have liberty through the new covenant, but not to do anything you want to do. To say that to interpret what the Jesus or the scriptures are saying as though it's meaningless, although now you don't have to practice any laws. And that's a tradition in Christianity that I wonder is really, is that really what, does that come from the world? Is that part of, as we talk about even in Islam, some of the world gaining a foothold in our religions to disperse us and to create chaos? No. We should really should be more firm in keeping together, more firm in holding on to the traditions, you know, instead of recreating the wheel. We are basically the same people. Today we're basically the same people that we were from the beginning of time. You know, our human nature has not changed, although, you know, certain manifestations, technology, and we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're different people. We're not. You know, God, it's not the laws itself, it's how we interpret it and the application of those laws. But we as human beings need guidelines for living. That's why God gave them to us. And some people what about those people? I will say this, those people who feel that they do need those guidelines, that they do need those to disparage them, are they less close to God because they feel they do need guidelines than someone who
let me jump in. I want to say something on what you just said. Mm-hmm. And I see the 817-374 person that commented she should like this comment. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says the law is for the lawless. And that's a hard saying. The law is for the lawless.
Well, again, you can interpret that. I got to say that you can interpret that a different way. The law, you can interpret that as the law will be applied to those who violate it. It doesn't say that we are doing away with the law. It depends on your interpretation.
Listen,
it does not say that you should abolish the law.
Hear me out, though. Listen to this.
Right.
Listen to this. First Timothy 1:9.
But Seth, I'm not going to go. Seth, I just want to say that I'm not going to debate, as I told you before, I'm not going to debate whether your religion or how you perceive it. I thought we were going to talk about the end time
Wait a minute, let me finish, please.
You can quote the Christian Bible, then I can begin quoting the Quran. I've been resisting that. And you know what? We're not going to get anywhere. You have your belief, I have mine. That's it. I mean,
I'm not going to get into
a sectarian discussion because it becomes very circular and it goes nowhere. It's very counterproductive.
What I'm saying is, I'm not really coming against you at all. You're
right.
Not hearing now. What I want to do
no,
is
I am
I'm
hearing you.
Stop.
I am hearing you. As I said, I am hearing you. And you gave. Wait a minute. You gave me your interpretation of the Bible as you see it, and as I just said, in terms of your subjective interpretation, many would disagree with you. Many Christian scholars would disagree with saints, but that's your perception. Which, by you maintaining that, you become sectarian. By you seeking to impose. Let me finish this. One sentence. I was very quiet for most of the show. By you seeking to try to convince me, or try to even restate it, you need not restate it. Your understanding of the Bible, as far as you're concerned, is for you. It's not for me. By you restating it, and I read the Bible. You understand I'm an educated man. I have read it over and over again. I was a Christian, and I'm Muslim. It's not going anywhere.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying at all. I really don't think
I understand exactly. Are you sure you're understanding what I'm saying? Then there was no need
now,
to do that.
Now, what I'm saying
is, my comment right now, hold on, my brother.
Just hold on one second. I mean, let's just kind of
I fully understand what you're saying.
Listen to what I'm saying, because what I'm talking about is not to you. Honest. I'm not talking to you. It's to all of us. I'm talking about religion in general. We kind of got off on that, and y'all been talking about it for a while, so when I comment, I don't want us to try to switch.
No, I have not been. I've been trying to refocus. Let me say this, just for clarity, because you made a comment.
Just hold
please,
on a second.
I have not really interrupted you, sir. I just want to say this, please.
But
I've been very quiet for most of the show. I just want to say,
right
I have
now.
Just been trying to refocus the conversation.
Hold on. Brother Saladin, I was just talking. I was just talking. You interrupted me. We ain't done this all night, so just give me.
But you've been interrupting me too, brother.
I've been very quiet.
I said most of the. My brother, I've been very quiet throughout this show, and I just wanted to get my point across because you know. Hello.
Hold on, my brother. Now, hold on. Out of respect.
Yeah, I would like that courtesy.
Just,
I think anybody who's heard the show, I have been very, very quiet. I have not interrupted.
Okay, but listen.
Yeah.
But
you've been interrupting me. I just want to get a point across. You want to get the final word? I just want to get a point across.
Hold on a second. I don't want to
interrupt
you.
But you're still
going to
get the final
earlier.
Word, right?
Now, hold on a second, my brother. Now, this is ridiculous. You done did pretty good all day. Even if you haven't talked all show. I'm saying hold on, and you're a guest on the show.
Yeah, so by you saying
hold
on means that I must hold on.
But I'm going to let you know.
I made the point that
I said very little
on the show, and I want to get a point across.
I said very little, and I think I deserve
that courtesy. I've said very little. Very little, because you made a statement. I've been trying to refocus.
You said that this, you told me
when you called up that this show was going to be about a certain thing and not sectarian. I have not been talking sectarian. I tried to refocus the conversation with the brother to the end times. As you said, the New World Order, I have tried to, very hard to keep it focused. As you did in the beginning, you interrupted me, and I was somewhat tangential, and I refocused, and that's what I'm trying to do now. I do not want to. I resent someone in having a sectarian discussion. I don't want to have a sectarian discussion with anyone.
And let me say this to you, okay? What you want, and what I want, it looked like we neither one of us got what we wanted. I mean, I wanted to focus a lot on end times event, and we got off into the history of Islam, and I let you go there. It's okay.
But you asked me to go there.
Hold on now. I'm going to have to mute you if you keep interrupting me. I just let you talk. You got to let me talk, my brother.
Well, if you're going to delete me, then please do, because you made a comment.
I'm not going to keep saying hold on. I'm just going to have to put him on mute. What I'm saying, folks, is this. The show, first of all, I think we did a very good job, and it's really the end of the show. Okay, so I can understand his frustration. I don't want to put my own host on hold, but I got to maintain control of the show. Now, we want to talk about, y'all know that what we're doing Thursday night. We get heavily into the New World Order, One World Government, all these things, okay? We get deep into them. Well, we didn't get deep into them tonight. We heard a lot about Islam and the history, and I kept saying that's good, but, and I don't mind that. We did the whole show like that. I didn't mind. It's not, you know, but it wasn't supposed to go that way. It wasn't. It was supposed to stick to, you know, but it didn't go that way. And I didn't mind it, but, you know, and the brother has hung up, and that's okay, too. But all I'm saying is that I've got to maintain the order of the show. This show is about revealing the enemy. What is he doing right now in the lives? What is he doing? What is this government trying to pull over? Do we need to watch what we're eating and watch what we're drinking? How are we gonna survive this? And people need to know. People got questions. They want to know. Folks already know about Islam. If they don't, this is not the show for it. This is not a show where we're going to get up into the history of Islam, but I let him do it because he's a guest, and I want to be nice. We talk a lot about Islam and religion and all this. And so, Brother Gabriel, I see you're not on hold, so you can hear me. You can comment if you want. But my thing is to just stick with what we said. Now, what I was going to read to y'all, and I'll just go ahead and give y'all where it's found in 2 Timothy. And I see your question, 817-374. I'm going to get to you in a second. Brother Gabriel, you still there, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, let me do this because I want to get to this young lady's question. I know she had a question or comment, but I just wanted to say the second Romans 2:26 talks about how the people that don't have no law whatsoever, I'm going to read it real quick. Since we've done a lot of other stuff, let's read the scriptures real quick. It's only like four verses, y'all. Therefore, verse 25, for circumcision verily profited. In other words, for a man to be circumcised, it profited, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcised. Therefore, if the circumcision keep the righteousness of the law,
shall not the uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Is that, I don't want to say crazy, but ain't that a mind twist to listen to that? Therefore, if the uncircumcision, that is a Gentile who is not circumcised, you know, by his penis, watch this, keep the righteousness of the law. How is he keeping the righteousness of the law? He have no law. It talks about how he have no law over in verse 14, 2:14 says, Romans 2:14 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by the nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. Folks, do y'all realize what I just read? These are people that's going to be justified by their conscience. They don't have no law. They don't have no Bible. And they're talking about how they're made righteous by their conscience. People say, what about those that died and never heard of Christ? There's your answer right there. So I'm saying we don't have to argue Bibles, Korans, and all this stuff. It says it right here, the law is for the lawless. The law is for people who don't walk with the Most High. They can't hear. You need to tell them laws because they all cause they're busy working overtime. They can't hear. But if you know somebody and you walk with them and you talk with them, you don't need to carry a little book with what they like. How your wife look walking around with a little book that says, fix my food this way. Don't do this. Don't roll up the toothpaste this way. Don't do this. Don't talk to me this way in public. You know her. You walk with her. It's people that are lawless that don't walk with the Most High. They need ordinances because they can't hear. Brother Gabriel, you got what I'm saying before I go to this caller?
Yeah, I got you, brother.
All right, let me go to this caller. 817-374. I hate that the brother hung up, but I got to be controller. I mean, if you're a guest on a show and somebody says, hold on, even if you feel like you haven't talked on show, why are you not talking on show? I mean, you got to comment just what you're here for. I mean, it's just probably in me trying to get the victory, but I still think we had a wonderful, wonderful time. We did talk a lot of things. There were several people in the chat room, a lot of chatting, and believe it or not, there's a lot of people that attended this particular time. So anyway, area code 817-374, did you have a comment or question, please?
Yes, I wanted to say on that, because these we are in the end times. I'm going to make this real quick because I know this is probably the end of the show. But as I listen to how the conversation progressed, this is what the end times is going to be like. A bunch of confusion and turmoil and all these things, people bickering and biting. And I'm not saying that we were or that you guys were. It just seems like the conversation ended up getting a lot, and everybody just can't handle the truth. The truth is just the truth. Everybody has their own belief and what they believe and how they believe it and whatever, the Quran, the Holy Bible, the Mormons or whatever, everybody believe what they believe. But like I always say, in the end, there's no denying the truth, and that is it. And I hate that it got out of hand, and I hope the guy didn't hang up because he was making some very valid points, and I was actually learning some things from his conversation. But I hate that he hung up, and we did have you guys, this is y'all's show, but it was a great show tonight, and I'm so grateful that you give me the opportunity to speak on your show, and that's it. But in the end, there's no denying the truth, and everybody just can't handle the truth. And the truth is just the truth, and that's it.
Well, I appreciate those words. I appreciate it. And you know what? I'm not going to let the 5 minutes or 2.5 hours ruin nothing. I mean, it's just like that. But I cannot, if you're a guest on somebody's show and you feel like you haven't talked much, and then you can't say, okay, I haven't talked much, so I'm demanding to talk now. You can't demand no part of your guest. And I'm just not going to have that. I mean, I hope he understands. I hope he's listening. But it's just that simple, people. It's just, you know, your guess. I don't mind sharing. I just felt like we didn't get around to what the show is all about. If you listen, my sister, to any part of these Thursday shows, we get deep into a lot of what's going on, and people are getting answers. They tell me, they write, email
right.
me all the time. Brother Seth, you help me out. I don't know everything, so I have a lot of guests on sometimes, and they tell people what to do with their money, you know, buy gold or do this or do that, you know, because there's a lot of things that's about to happen. Well, we end up talking about mostly Islam, and it wasn't for that.
There's
I wanted
one
to
thing,
know,
but, Brother Seth, I'm just real quick. It's one thing to say that we're saints, but it's another thing to react like a saint. You can say that you're a saint and that you follow God, but when you follow God and you're a saint and a believer, there's just a way that you do things. When you really, you know, when we get to study all these different religions and whatever, you know, we kind of got on religion, then we kind of get ourselves confused. But it's one thing to say you're a saint, but it's another thing to react like one. So
yeah.
It didn't
matter. I don't want to paint myself holier than now. Maybe I was a little controlling and doing what I did, but I just felt like he, you know, and I'll have him on. You know, I don't hold grudges, but I just feel like when you're a guest on somebody's show, if they say, hold on a second, you just hold on a second. And then when you do get a chance to talk, we could talk for another hour, really. I'm not going to do it. I'm about to wrap this show up. But actually, Brother Gabriel, since you're on the line too, we can talk another 30 minutes. What's wrong with just waiting? Waiting, I finish. And then when I give you the mic, go ahead and say whatever you're going to say. You can talk. I'll let you talk. I'll let anybody talk. I'm letting you talk. I'm going to let Brother Gabriel talk more than one. I don't care. But if I say, let me jump in here, and don't say you want to now get to the subject at hand when we ain't been on it really all show. It's okay, though, because y'all was able to learn some things about Islam that is very good and vital. But I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not going to let the enemy take claim glory for this show. He's a lie. He's a lie all day long. The enemy is a lie. I still love my brother. He's still cool with me. If he, you know, y'all, everybody, we still all one happy family. But I got to wrap this show, Brother Gabriel. I'm just going to not put you on hold, my sister, and let you be a part of this benediction here. Brother Gabriel, did you have any questions?
No, I ain't had no questions. I had one to tell the guy. He asked me why I was not trying to convert him. Well, basically, I was trying to do what the Bible say. The Bible teaches, they say, if a man converts one to the truth, let him know that he has saved the soul and he has covered a multitude of sins. I know every man have a multitude, even myself. I know many multitudes. Even though I change, I still commit sins every day or falling short of the glory of the Most High. So my purpose was trying to convert him to the truth. Maybe I came in the wrong way, and I apologize. I might have interjected some of the negativity, trying to bring light to his situation, because people think, basically everybody think they know everything. And the Most High said those that profess to be wise end up being fools, because they go to school, learn so much, and they don't know nothing now about the truth. Or they get so over the truth that they can't see the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
they're in the clouds.
They're
trying to get to the mountain, but they're in the clouds with it. So you never gonna get to the mountain.
Well, in his defense, I felt like he was humble. I think he did try to, you know, let us talk, and that's all good. And I always give him props for that. And I think he did a wonderful job tonight sharing about Islam. That's not a problem. That's why I let him, because I said, oh well, maybe this is where the Most High has taken us, you know. But I just feel like when I say okay, let's just do. You just gotta, you know. I know, like, you have a lot to say, my brother, but when I say to you, Brother Gabriel, let's move on, you say, oh, well, okay, never mind, but I'm sorry. You even say I'm sorry sometimes, and you don't really have to say that. That's a more of a humble spirit. I know he was upset, but we live and we learn. Just because we have these blogs, don't mean everything will go right. This is a part of having blogs. This is a part of communication. Sometimes we have these shows where if you don't have this in the show, then you ain't really real. So hopefully he'll be on next week. I'll probably call him and say, hey, my brother, if he'll come on next week, we'll probably do the same thing next week. But next week, I promise you, we're going to get off into a whole lot of what's going on in our society. I still got two people on the line. I'm not going to talk about who they are. I can see their phone numbers. But everybody else is pretty much gone. The chat room is pretty much silent, I think. So anyway, I love the brother. Ain't no issues with me. He is in the same boat as y'all are. That's how I look at it. You can call it a show. You can call it a show. It ain't my show. It's the Most High show. I just felt these functions to do certain things on Thursday, Tuesday, whatever, and I asked people to stick to the agenda. He didn't, and it wasn't a big deal to me. So when I start trying to talk about how the law is for the lawless and show scriptures, then all of a sudden he want to go back to, that's not what we're here for. Well, you know, so anyway, folks, listen, y'all, let's be prayerful for our people, my sister, my brother. Y'all, I'm very serious. I'm so serious. There is a lot going on right now in New York. They're talking about Al-Qaeda done found this. They threaten to do something. I feel like if anything happened in New York, it's going to be our government, and I feel like they do have the wherewithal to kill a lot of people and blame it on Muslims. I don't believe Al-Qaeda is doing nothing in New York. I don't believe it'll come out later on, just like I said on 911. I went on the radio, WCVG in Cincinnati, and everybody know this is listening to me from Cincinnati. Y'all know I said this. It was 9:12. I was on the radio saying that Bin Laden name hadn't even came up yet on 9/12. It probably came on later on that day, but I said that this is the government of the United States behind this, and lo and behold, we now found it out. So I'm saying I don't know what's happening in New York. They got all these fires here in Texas, and I mean fires have destroyed over 600 homes. It's threatening more. We don't know how long this fire is going to go. I just heard somebody just said there was a big blackout in the California area. Something is going on, folks. So this is what I wanted to talk about tonight, and it's probably going to affect us one way or the other. Let's be prayerful to the Most High. He have mercy upon us, his people, and this country, and that he would we're supposed to pray like that. Even though we know that it's going to be judged, we still have to pray for safety for our family and friends, and I mean it, y'all. So can we y'all promise to commit to pray? Can we at least get that out of this talk, this show Amen. Tonight?
Amen.
Brother Gabriel, you with us
Hallelujah.
On that?
Yeah.
Yes. And so let's just do this. Let me just go ahead and wrap the show. I don't want to be make like I'm holding it now, so I'm gonna ask one of y'all to in this blog and prayer, because I'm very, very serious. I take this time very serious, folks. We still got people on the line right now listening to us right now as we speak. I'm very serious, not to mention the people that's going to listen tomorrow and the next day on the archive. So this is a very serious topic that we've had tonight, even though we kind of got off it a little bit. And I just want one of y'all, if you don't mind, to just pray the Most High blessing over what we've done and for the people tonight. Any of y'all feel up to it? Don't be shy. I'll go ahead and do it.
Go ahead, Steph. Go ahead.
I'll go ahead and do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for another night just talking about your word, talking about your people, talking about what's going on the planet, even talking about Islam and Christianity. Father, we just thank you for the servants that have shared tonight and try to get people to go the straight and narrow way. We thank you for the encouragement from Brother Gabriel and our sister here. We just thank you for all of the callers, all the comments, the brother that called earlier that suggested that we walk so close to the Most High to where we see you do miracles in our life. We ask for that. We ask that we first and foremost have a relationship with you, and that we surrender all areas of our life to you, that we would not be hypocrites, that we will walk worthy. And, Father, that you will empower us by the Holy Spirit that you've given us to walk like you and talk like you, and that we may be an asset upon this earth to a dying and a lost world. Father, these things we ask. I ask a blessing on everybody listening tonight. Please, Father, I ask you in your son's name to bless them, protect their family, deliver them from the strongholds of the enemy, and release finances where there is financial bondage and physical bondage and mental bondage, and just set the people free, Father. They love you. They seek you. They love you. They seek you. They wouldn't be up this time of night. So I pray not just for these callers, but everybody even that's on hold that's not haven't commented tonight. We ask blessings upon their family. Touch and heal their bodies. Their conditions is no match for you.
touch their bodies right now, touch their children's body. Set free young men in prison and jail. Father, forgive their sins and set them free. Give them a heart after you. We ask these things. We ask these things heartfully from our heart. Earnestly, we ask these things. In your son's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody. That's going to be it. I just want to thank y'all for staying online with me on hold on the line. I'm going to go ahead and mute the both of y'all, and we're going to go out with a song. Y'all just, you know, I always got to play songs with the meaning. So check out this song, and that'll be it. Again, thank y'all, Brother Gabriel, my sister, for commenting and hanging on the line with me, okay?
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
All right, and I went ahead and I muted you. Check this song out, and then we'll wrap this up. This is a song that it just kind of says it all. Check this out by Vicky Yohe.
Growing.
That's it, folks. Awake Zion, put on thy strength. Good night.